I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 2. 1 Kings chapter 2, speaking on the subject of what does it take to be a man. 1 Kings chapter 2, let's begin reading in verse 1. This is David as he's preparing to turn the kingdom over to his son Solomon. David, the greatest king that Israel had in their entire history. Only their second king. But under his leadership, Israel became the world power. All the world was subservient to the nation of Israel. A mighty warrior and a man after God's own heart, the Bible tells us. But now as he's at the end of his life and he's turning the leadership over to Solomon, I even detect maybe there's a little bit of concern. Because while David was a great man of God and a great soldier and a great king, I think one of his failings was in his home. And I think as he writes these words, he's realizing that and trying to make up maybe for some of the things where he messed up as he turns the reins over to his son. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 1. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest. And whithersoever thou turnest thyself, that the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, If thy children take heed to their way to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. Solomon had a great opportunity before him. And he's challenging with these thoughts. Let me just throw this out to you before we get into that. What does it mean to be a man? You have one wallet, one pair of shoes, and one color for all seasons. You can do your nails with a pocket knife. Your pals will never trap you with, so, notice anything different? And you don't need a support group to go to the bathroom. You know, there's many things that about being a man that make life simpler, much to the frustration of our wives oftentimes, but that's what we use, ladies. But there's a great responsibility that comes with being a man as well. God puts the man in the leadership in the home. You go back to the Garden of Eden, you see that God first made man, then took Eve from his side, a rib from his side. So they're not, Adam is not superior, but they're not equal. There's a difference. Anybody with two eyes most can figure that out. God has some specific roles for each of us. And again, that doesn't make one superior to the other. But there has to be leadership. And God has placed man in that role of leadership. We have a responsibility in the eyes of God as leaders in our homes, as leaders in our churches. Folks fuss against that. Folks don't like the way that God did it, but that's what God did. And I don't have the authority to change what God has put in his word. My responsibility is to fulfill, as a pastor, to fulfill what God has said, to abide by what God has said. Our responsibilities as dads, as fathers, is the same thing, to do what God has said. And just like with Solomon, as God had told David, here's what's going to be. Look at verse 4 again. He says, that the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, If thy children take heed to their way to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. Do you see what God was, through David, was offering to Solomon? You will be the beginning of a long lineage of kings that will continue on this throne if you obey. The problem was, Solomon didn't. And his sons after him did not. And though it was many years before the final fruit of their rebellion came to pass, today this promise lies unfulfilled. Because they didn't hold up their part of the bargain. But you know what, dads? We've got some promises to us as well. He said, you're going to prosper. Verse 3. In all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. The history of the nation of Israel has been pretty rough. Pretty difficult. Because they didn't obey. And dads, our homes can be the same way if we're not obedient. We've got a great responsibility as fathers. Sometimes a role maybe we don't always take as seriously as we should. Sometimes dads are too detached, too wrapped up in their own thing or their careers and not taking the time with their children that they need to be. You know, one of the things that as a pastor that I learned in the 17 years that we were in Kansas, I was working a full-time job as well as pastoring full-time, and I was an absent father a lot of that time. Paid the price. My family paid the price. And so I give you some information this morning that hopefully you won't have to make the same mistakes that I made. Be involved with your kids, with your family. Don't be absent. Don't be wrapped up in your own thing, in your career. David said to his son, show thyself a man. First. Solomon, you need to be a man, not a limp-wristed wuss. Show yourself a man. Let me read to you a few more verses. In Psalm chapter 12 and verse 1, it says this, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor, with flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. He said, the godly man ceaseth. Where'd he go? They're missing. Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 30 says this, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. In some of the darkest days of Israel's history, God says, I was looking for those who would show themselves a man, and they were absent. They weren't there. And then finally, Micah chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. A good man has perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net. A sad commentary. And a commentary too often repeated. And a place we're at in our history right now, I think we need men who will show themselves men. To stand up and to do what's right. To let their voice be heard when it needs to be heard. To be involved when there needs to be involvement. Whether it be in the church or in the community as a whole. Running for office or school board or whatever the case may be. Too oftentimes, you know, I grew up in the 60s. And I didn't get saved till 1975. But at that time, the idea was the church withdrew from everything because it was too, the world's too wicked, politics is too wicked and too evil. And then we wonder why everything went to hell. It's because we withdrew. We withdrew from the school boards. We wonder why the schools fell apart. Because there was no men standing in the gap. There needs to be some men who will stand up and say, is there not a cause? Is my family not worth fighting for? Are our schools not worth fighting for? Folks, that's the future of this country. And don't complain about where it's going if you're not doing something to affect the direction it's taking. We like to sit back and criticize, but that doesn't change anything. Might make you feel good for a few seconds. But what changes is those who are willing to stand up and show themselves a man, to get involved in the battle, to make their voice be heard, to push for what's right, what we believe in, and oppose the wickedness that's so rampantly taking control in our country, in every level of government and political life. Show yourself a man. How important is a dad? Children without a father in the home are twice as likely to drop out of school and half as likely to be a high achiever. Girls without a dad are more likely to marry as a teen and more likely to become pregnant. Boys are more likely to be incarcerated. One figure says 70% of the juveniles in state institutions had no father in the home. Dads are important. It can't be all left to mom. Certainly, just because of the way things are with our jobs and so forth, moms have a lot more time oftentimes, not always, but often, sometimes it's the babysitter. But, you know, I'm not criticizing that. That's the way it is. But dads, when you're there, you need to be available. You need to be engaged. What's it take to be a man? It's not measured by the size of your pickup tires. It's not measured by the number of antlers that you have hanging on the wall or any of these other things that are important to you. Not how much weight you can bench press, not your income. What's it take to be a man? A good dad. First, you need faith in Jesus Christ. You need to be saved. If you're not saved this morning, that's the first step that you need to make. You need to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Make Jesus Christ the priority in your life. Look at Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18, we started out talking about the nation of Israel with David. But let's go back to where it started. Genesis chapter 18, and this is about Abraham. Abraham in chapter 11 is first introduced. Chapter 12 is where God called him. God chose Abraham. He was a pagan. He was a worshiper of false gods. And out of the blue, God speaks to Abraham and says, come out from among your people. I want you to leave your people. I want you to leave your home. I want you to leave everything that's familiar to you. And I want you to come to a land that I'm going to show to you. Now, why did God choose Abraham? I believe this verse 19 gives us the answer to that here in chapter 18 of Genesis. God speaks of Abraham. And he says, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord and do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. That's why God chose Abraham. Because he's going to do what I say. He proved that by leaving everything to follow this God that was foreign to him. And he says, I know he's going to teach his kids. That's our responsibility, dads. That's why God chose Abraham. But how can you teach your kids about the very most important thing in the entire world, salvation, if you're not saved yourself? It's got to start with you. Teach them about salvation by being saved yourself. Because without salvation, they are bound for an eternity in hell. I was raised Roman Catholic. I was 23 years old before I got saved. My dad was an alcoholic. I know of three times in my life. My parents died in 1978. I was 26 at the time. I know of three times in my entire life that my dad was in church. Twice was midnight mass, Christmas Eve, and he was drunk. There was one other time, just the summer before he died, that he went to church with mom. That's the only times I know in my entire life that my dad went to church. He had no spiritual influence on me whatsoever. Don't be like that, dads. You try to have an impact on your kids. My dad's God was in a brown bottle. I mean, weekends, he started out in the morning, he'd have his coffee in the morning, but it wasn't long after that, and he was drinking beer. Drink beer all weekend long. We had a refrigerator out in the garage, the beer refrigerator. Probably, I don't know how old I was when I had my first sip of beer. But Dad would tell me to get one, I'd grab a beer out of the fridge, I'd open it in front of him, take a swig, and hand it to him. Nothing ever said. That's what I learned from my dad. And when I got saved, I was well on my way to being an alcoholic myself. That's what my dad taught me. Don't be like that, dads. Teach them about Jesus Christ. Have a positive influence in their life. So you need to be saved first. But second, you need to live a life of faith. Yeah, we need to be saved. That's only the first step, though. Being saved means you're not going to spend eternity in hell. But are you doing anything in your life that's amounting for Jesus Christ? And furthermore, is it doing anything to show your patterning for your children what a life lived for Jesus Christ means? Are you doing anything in your life, dads, that demonstrates to your kids that you are actually living by faith? You know, the Bible tells us we're to walk by faith, not by sight. We're to make a difference in this world, but first and foremost, we need to make a difference in our kids' lives. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You know what you need to do that? You got to admit your own weakness. Admit that you're not strong enough. Admit that you can't do it yourself. You're not independent. You're to be dependent on Him. It kind of goes against our grain. That rubs that pride. But if you're going to be strong for God, you got to admit first your own weakness. I can't do it. I need God. And that needs to be demonstrated before your children. Show them what it means to live by faith. Act in a way which brings honor and glory to God and teaches them. You know, we can teach them to hunt and to fish and to work and with their hands and all the skills that we deem important to life. And those things, I'm not criticizing those things. But if you do all that and don't teach them to trust God, you've failed as a dad. That's our responsibility. First, be saved. Second, live by faith. Demonstrate that. Second thing is this, a godly character. To be someone a child can look up to, a good godly role model. Comedian Dennis Miller, I don't know how many of you are familiar with that name, but he said this, and I don't even know if I doubt very much the man is saved, but he said this when asked about athletes as role models. He said, if a kid's mom and dad aren't role models, you've got trouble. Only kids who are in trouble would pick some stranger as a role model. Their role model better be me, or I'm not doing my job. My character needs to be such that I want my children to follow me. There's a song, a guy's talking about, they're driving down the road and he says, the light suddenly turns red and he hits the brakes and the kid's French fries go all over the little four-year-old and his pop goes all over the place. And then the child utters a four-letter word. And the dad says, where'd you learn to talk like that? You, Daddy. And the sword pierces his heart. He gets home and he gets alone in the barn. He's praying, God, help me to help my stupid self, he says. And then the song goes on and says, that night they're praying. He's putting the kid to bed and the kid jumps out of bed and gets on his knees beside the bed. He starts praying. And after the boy gets done praying, he says, son, where'd you learn to pray like that? And the boy says, I've been watching you, Daddy. What are you teaching your kids? What kind of an example are you setting for them? 1 Kings chapter 15. First Kings chapter 15 and verse 3. And he walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father. One of the kings that followed after Solomon over the kingdom of Judah. He's just following in daddy's footsteps. His daddy's heart wasn't perfect before God, and so his was not as well. Look at 2 Kings chapter 15. Verse 9. And he did that which is evil in the sight of the Lord, as his fathers had done. He departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. And that thing is repeated over and over and over again throughout the lineage of the kings of Judah. Now, there were four times in the history of the nation of Judah when a son did not follow in his father's footsteps. And those four times, the nation of Israel experienced a great revival. In fact, one of them, I believe, was Joash. His father was Manasseh, the most wicked king that the southern kingdom had had. Yet he did not follow his father's footsteps, and through him a great revival came. But it was too little too late, because though while he lived, things were changed. It wasn't long after his death that right back down into the pits. But the point is, Young people are going to follow the example that you set for them. Make sure it's a godly character, a godly example that you're setting for your children. The story is told about Jim Penny. As a child in Hamilton, Missouri, he grew up working at a grocery store, working for a man there, and he had planned himself to make a career of being a grocer. Came home one night and bragged to his, at the supper table, was telling his dad how shrewd his employer was, because he would take the really expensive coffee and then mix it with some cheaper brands to increase his profits. And the dad sat there and listened to the story and without saying a word. And when the son, bragging on this employer got done, the dad said, tell me something. How would your boss feel if one of the people he purchased this stuff from was doing the same thing to him? Do you think he'd laugh about that? And then he said to him, son, tomorrow you go into that store, you collect the wages that are owed you, and you leave, and you don't go back again. And it was tough times in Hamilton, Missouri at that time. Jobs were hard to come by, but his dad would rather he be unemployed than work under a man with that kind of character. And at that point, J.C. Penney's life changed. He did not become a grocer. He became the founder of the J.C. Penney store. Because a dad wanted good character demonstrated before his son. Dads, that's our responsibility. To model for them and make sure others who have an influence in their lives are modeling for them good, godly character. We're to be disciplined. We're to have good contact. We're to be faithful men. Be a man of your word, and even more than that, be a man of the word. That your kids see you reading and studying the Bible and praying. Know that even though we're failures in a lot of ways and we don't mess up time and time again, we're weak and we need this in our lives. Make sure your kids know that, dads. Make sure your kids understand that. Let me close with a poem. It's one I've used before, but I think it bears repeating. Walk a little plainer, Daddy, said a boy so frail. I'm following your footsteps, and I don't want to fail. Sometimes your steps are plain, sometimes they're hard to see. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, for you are leading me. I know that once you walked this way many years ago. What you did along the way, I'd really like to know. For sometimes when I'm tempted, I don't know what to do. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, for I must follow you. Someday when I'm grown up, you're like I want to be. Then I'll have a little boy who want to follow me. And I want to lead him right and help him to be true. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, for I must follow you. I want to close today just a little differently. I'm going to ask all the dads to come forward, if you would, please. Come down here, stand in front, please, all dads. Whether you've got kids at home or not anymore, it doesn't matter. I want all the dads up here, please.